Sitting here Wednesday night, we were studying in the Old Testament, and it's rather depressing what we were studying, and there's several books that are like that. And the reason it's depressing is because they're telling a group of people what their future is. Wednesday night sealed the deal for me on the way I was approaching something. One of the things that kind of sealed the deal on what I'm speaking about this morning is that an acquaintance of mine was with one of her friends, and they were trying to move some cattle, and her father was with the animal they were trying to move, trying to get him loaded. And apparently the animal charged. It was a steer. It charged the man, and instantly he was unconscious and died very soon after. Didn't know the man. I knew his daughter, liked his daughter, thought she was impressive. She, I told her one time, I appreciate the way you handle yourself in a, probably some people would call a man's world. Mostly men are involved in doing what she was doing, but she did it with a marvelous sense of style and knowledge. I've seen her help juniors. Maddie was one of them, trying to help these juniors control their animal. Met her through the breed that I raise. She later and her family apparently left our breed, and they became involved in another breed. But I did see her at least yearly, and so I was with sadness realizing what you know. One minute she was the manager of their operation. I think her father was in banking, but had a big involvement in their operation. One minute, man's alive, and shortly after, there's no more communication with him. He's in such trauma until he quickly dies. So those two things of studying in the Old Testament, seeing, minor prophets give these people a message that they need to know if they want to be saved and escape this judgment that's going to come on them. They weren't necessarily going to escape the physical part of their punishment as a people, but they were going to hopefully see what he had in store for them as a people and repent of their actions and seek salvation through God at that time. Change their ways and not be like most of the people who were very sinful. So my lesson's about knowing our future here on earth, knowing it's not the greatest. I don't want to discourage you young people. I mean, hopefully you're going to have some of the greatest times in your life. You'll have good education experience, hopefully. You will meet someone and make the second best decision in your life and have many years of happiness, possibly grandchildren and so forth. But we know as Christians today, not back in the Old Testament, we know that our future probably isn't the best here in this world. That we have, a God that has given us some idea, and that's why the study of the Old Testament is important. It's to know how God has dealt with his people in the past and help us make the proper decisions in the future of our own lives and hopefully be spiritually pleasing to God. We know our future is not the greatest here, but we're going to make the best of it anyway. I think that's probably the way Audrey does it. She's going to be, 98 here very shortly. She gets up in the morning, as was posted this week, and has a reason to get up every morning and meet with some of her family. And even though she's not going for coffee anymore, I had your coffee for you, Audrey. I'm not crazy about the aftertaste, but it sure seems good in the morning. So knowing what our future is and making the best of it. We mentioned in class today, some things aren't fair, but we have a Savior. Some things didn't seem fair that He had to endure, but He endured them for us. Dan Johnson was helping his daughter. She said, she mentioned on Facebook that she'd never be half the person that her father was. To bring this even closer, because you don't know this man, and as I don't know him either, we come a little closer to home. Hopefully not with any disrespect to anybody. Todd Turnquist. Gunshot wound. Larry George. Probably being choked by clothing wrapping around a drive shaft. Almost could put Betty in this category because there was probably very little communication between her and her family. She was here and worshiped with us and was enduring quite a bit of suffering. And just a few days later, couldn't communicate with her at all, not being able to say goodbye. Rick Curtis, a heart attack and the lasting feelings, you know, this was given his sons and Betty. Edward John Sorensen, this was before my time with this congregation, but I heard it talked about many times. This road that goes through here, 163, some people call it University now, killed in a car accident. Spoke with Connie, she was at college, didn't have a chance to say goodbye. We didn't know Shirley's first husband. He was killed in an accident. Not able to say goodbye. There's been those of us in this congregation that have lost a child that didn't live long enough to be born. I think of this every once in a while because it's touched my family. There's also a program right now, and I didn't pay all that much attention to it, but I heard it mentioned several times, counting the kicks. Mothers counting the kicks during each day when the baby's active. But those of you who never got to communicate with a child, it didn't live long enough to be born. I know Mark and Susie, she carried, I think, their first child full term. But there was a problem with the pregnancy, and I think they were burying that child the day Todd was killed. Now, we're not all going to die as these did instantaneously. Some of us we'll have a disease or something that takes over our body, and we will go slowly. Some of us will not be able to know it's even our time of death. As Joyce is suffering her parents right now, especially her mother. As far as I'm concerned, her mother is gone. She's dealing with somebody that's not her mother. So we need to be prepared as a people not so distraught that we don't try to function and have quality lives or seek out relationships as young people. Hopefully, you will be able to have much pleasure in your life. But some of us won't, and we're not in charge. Getting to some scripture here and how we should live, how we have. Kelly talked to me about this before he changed the scripture for our last men's devotional. Paul tells Timothy in, I think it's, no, I don't want to use that one first. I want to use the Philippian ones first. Philippians 4 is an excellent chapter. I'll read a little section of this, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Paul tells the story how he has been able to be content. There's a part of being content that we don't like, we don't appreciate, we don't aspire to. We can be content sitting in a recliner. We can be content doing nothing. So Paul gives us another scripture in what Kelly chose to change the devotional to in 1 Timothy 6, and I believe it's verse 6. I'll read a little bit around this too. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, but such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. We can be content with Satan, but that's not going to save our souls. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So back to the Old Testament, where we're studying on Wednesday night. We see how God has dealt with people in the past. They had to go into great persecutions. They went into... They were hauled off into captivity. And they suffered greatly physically, trying to endure God's punishment on them. God used their enemies to punish them. Are we going to be learning from those examples and lead our life in a way that we're prepared? Or are we going to follow the devil's lead and maybe greed or aspiring to things that are not godly? Are we living our lives to be godly? This originally was what I was thinking about talking about, but things didn't develop all that much. I call it leaving a lasting impression. This came to me in a strange way. I've known a couple for several years. This is through 4-H. And they're grandparents, as I'm a grandparent, but they would come on grandparent night. And so I would talk to them every year. And we'd talk about people we knew. They knew Jim and Kathy Erickson, owners of Anderson Erickson. We had some discussions there. And every year, they said, "Nice to meet you." And so this summer, we were together. Grandparents were invited to a meal and so forth. And I was involved with their grandchildren. And one of the first things I remember when I talked to them this year at the 4-H function was, "Glad to meet you," like they'd never met me before. So I decided, well, I'm just not leaving a lasting impression with them. It concerned me a little bit. Could they possibly be slipping a little bit? Do they have some dementia? But I decided, no, they just know so many people or have met so many people that a lot of them just don't leave a lasting impression. I worked with their grandchildren, and it started out last December. This involves an animal, too. We weighed in Maddie's steer at the Warren. We took one animal to the Warren County Fairgrounds and had her weighed in, had him weighed in. And we came home with three animals. The children, the neighbors that I was working with, had a deal with a man that... you don't need to know all that information. It's not important to the story, but they knew, and I didn't have any animals for them, and they worked out this deal that they would have these two steers, and we weighed them all in, we loaded them up on the trailer that I'd taken down there, and we came home, and the father of the kids and I were there, and maybe Maddie, and we unloaded the three animals, and one of them, we were trying to get them all to go in a certain direction. The reason we were standing there, and instead of going any other direction, this one animal just plowed at me and knocked me over. Not out of meanness, out of being scared. And in all the times I've dealt with animals, I've never owned an animal that was that mean. There's been times, there's hormones that cows experience when they give birth. They're very productive and so protective. And so there's been times I've had a stick in my hand, something to club them over the nose to change their idea a little bit about charging me. But it's always been, two or three days max, and they realized you were not going to hurt their calf. Had a couple steers that genetically were probably inclined to be frantic. They weren't mean. They were just frantic. They didn't want to be that close to human beings. I think each one of the kids had one of that cow's calves out of this certain bull, and it just genetically they were just had a tendency to be scared. They didn't go to the Warren County Fair. Couldn't get acclimated with them to get them to lead and show. Well, I thought that was going to be the situation with the grandkids that with this one animal that knocked me down. It seemed like wherever I was, when I worked around that area, this animal was always as far as he could be. Like if we were in this rectangular lot, he would be at the opposite corner. And I fed him, and the father fed him. I don't think the kids ever fed him, but this animal slowly got to be able that we could get at least close to him. Well, it came down, it was just a few weeks. He'd been trained to lead by the donkey, so he was leadable. And the day I took him off the donkey, I led him from the head gate chute to where I wanted him. And I didn't feel like he was trying to get away from me at all. I thought, maybe there's hope for this animal. But it was a young lady that was going to be showing this animal, and she'd never done it before, and she was scared. So it came down that last week, I thought, she's not going to be able to do this. But her father got on the end of the rope, and she was next to the animal, and she was terrified, and the animal sensed this. And on top of that, girls have a higher-pitched voice, and especially if you don't keep your mouth shut, that can irritate the animals. Well, she was able to actually lead that animal one time before we stepped on the fairgrounds. Worked with these two kids. We had another little issue that her heifer was being taken there by another man. And this other man kind of spooks the animals very easily. He's kind of like a, well, still don't go there. He's kind of excitable. And this heifer hadn't seen him before, and she was jumping over a gate, and she got her hind foot caught in the gate. And so she's, you know, really uncomfortable. Well, she spent the time at the Warren County Fair, but she never got out of the barn. She was she just wasn't able to put weight on that foot. She's doing pretty good today. But anyway, grandparents of this girl, they know who I am because I spent enough time with her grandkids, and he was concerned about this animal, and we had some good conversations, and even spiritual. They'd asked me to give a prayer for when we had a meal one night. She came over to me, and she appreciated the prayer so much. She explained to me how she'd been raised in the Lutheran Church, been baptized as an infant, and confirmed, and then she met her husband, and she realized that her salvation was lacking something, that she needed to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was her Savior. She needed to repent. She didn't mention baptism. She realized that she needed to do more. Had many conversations with them since, short conversations, because I knew their grandkids. We're all leaving a lasting impression. And so the invitation I'm giving this morning is, what kind of lasting impression are you leaving? Lasting impressions can be good or bad. We need to wash our lasting bad impressions away. Pray that we are appreciative of God's grace, and let Jesus wash sins away that we've committed since we've been baptized. But what kind of lasting impression are we leaving? Is it a good one? Something that Christ can say, I knew that man. We're all going to see the King someday. Will it be a good experience or not? We had that this morning. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, another song that we had. We can get things that just don't seem fair because Satan is throwing those darts and hurling them at us. But if good seed for Jesus I have sown, that's our lasting impression that we want to leave. What kind of lasting impression do you want to leave this world with? We give you an opportunity. Anything we can do for you as a scriptural, hopefully scriptural congregation that we can do for you, come and as Mike leads the invitation song, and just take care of those needs so we'll be right when Jesus comes again.